listening to intercepting a radio communication between two Soviet officers in the back end of a limousine traveling in Russia. Is this an exaggeration, or do we have that capability?
Well, I hope that no military officer said that. I think that if it is true, it shouldn't have been said. And if it's not true, it shouldn't have been said.
That's why I said that initially I thought, you know, well, we got this great capability. On second thought, I said to myself, why do we say it if there's no gain in that?
An unwise thing to say.
Well,
anyway.
Then forgive me for asking you. But we should take a break now to give our sponsors an opportunity to have a word. And when we come back on, I've got some questions from our listeners with regard to Beirut. What are we doing in Lebanon? Where are we in Central America? So get yourself together, and we'll be back with our listeners right after these messages. Two County Roundtable. This is your host, Don Hillman. My guest this morning is Admiral Elmo R. Zumwalt, who is better known to many of us as Bud, having grown up in the Bay Area. Admiral Zumwalt being former Chief of Naval Operations and a member of the Joint Chiefs of Staff. And for those listeners who might have just joined us, we have already discussed Bud's growing up in the Tulare area. Now we're asking him some questions that have been submitted by our listeners, wanting to get his firsthand report on a lot of things that are troubling us as we view these items from such a far distant way and often interpreted by unqualified people. Second thing that our listeners about have expressed deep interest in, and of course we see it each night on our television screens, is all the bombing and excitement going on in Beirut. We know there are American Marines on the soil there. We have our naval forces off the beach occasionally bombarding. From your viewpoint, should we be there? If so, what is our role, and when do we see a finish to this?
Very good, Don. Let me first cheat by making a one-sentence statement that I regret. When you and I were talking about each having come to Tulare a few days after being born, that I didn't point out that my father was born here in 1892, and my son, Elmo III, was born here in 1946. So we've done our bit for Tulare.
Good. And the Historical Society listeners are all recording this, too.
With regard to your question on Beirut, Don, the issue, I think, is quite clear. If the president is permitted to carry out his policy, there is a very good possibility that the United States will be able to preserve its vital interests in the area, and those vital interests are the maintenance of a stable and democratic regime in Israel so that the forces of Israel are available and linked to ours in checkmating Soviet mischief in the Middle East and serving as a protection, which indeed and surprisingly they are, to Egypt, which is threatened by Libya and Soviet equipment from the other side, and that if the president is not permitted to continue his work there by keeping the Marines in place, then we have almost no chance to avoid a situation in which Lebanon will become over time a Syrian satellite and then ultimately a Soviet satellite, as is Syria.
Does Lebanon have the capability of becoming an independent and a viable country? It's been my observation that they have difficulty even unifying their own people.
It's a very fair question, because they have at least some 10 different partisan groups. Yet Lebanon was a viable country which had made all the necessary political compromises after the French left, and maintained a degree of stability and order in what was one of the most economically prosperous nations in the whole Middle East up until the time that things finally became unstuck and Syria moved in and occupied it. Unscrambling the egg is going to be a lot tougher than scrambling it. Nevertheless, I believe that we've got to try, and the president is right to try, and that it's absolutely certain that if we don't try, the Soviet strategy of clientization of that area will succeed.
Your term clientization is a term I really hadn't heard until the last week or 10 days. Give us again your interpretation of what clientization is.
There are, there are certain nations contiguous to the Soviet Union which are total abject satellites, practically provinces of Russia, such as Poland and Bulgaria and so on. And there are others further away from the immediate reach of Soviet forces where the Soviets do have a presence, some military advisors, and so control and influence the regimes that they participate in the Soviet mischief and concert their foreign policy with the Soviet Union. I have reference here to such nations as Ethiopia, Mozambique, Angola, and Syria, and so on.
So, of course, we're talking about, now, as I understand your interpretive colonization, that's been going on really for 25 or 30 years, hasn't it?
Yes, it has.
And think of the terms, those Baltic countries that used to have separate identity that have long since been forgotten. Estonia?
Latvia, Lithuania, a tragic disappearance of national entities into the Soviet system.
But let's shift to Central America now, because it's closer to home and something that we can identify better with. The president's current policy dealing with Central America, the formation of the task force, are we taking the steps that we ought to be taking there? Are we supporting properly the...
I think, Don, that my answer to that would be that the president is doing a better job than we had any right to expect, given the nature of our democracy, which keeps reminding me of Winston Churchill's description, namely the worst form of government ever invented, except for all the others that have ever been tried. The democratic constraints, the political constraints on the president, have limited his freedom of action quite clearly. And yet I think he has had a degree of success in beginning to turn the situation around. I wish that other members of the media were doing as you are doing today, making some effort to bring forth what is a point of view that would support what the president is doing. Most of the media have been so critical of what he's up that they haven't even stopped to ask the question at his press conferences, tell us, Mr. President, what the Soviet objectives are. Tell us what we know about what their long-term objectives are.
Mm-hmm. Then I would gather from our brief opportunity to discuss Lebanon, to discuss Central America, that you're generally supportive of the Reagan administration's directions, recognizing the fact that President Reagan's own personal background and experience really didn't prepare him for these kinds of responsibilities. Where is he getting this guidance that I think you're giving a positive interpretation to?
You know, the president has been made out by some members of the media to be the kind of a fellow that doesn't do his homework. In actual fact, my experience with him is that he has been very diligent about it over the years. He's been in public life for nearly 16 years. Soon after I became chief of naval operations, although his base was in California, he asked to come and have lunch with me and spent a good couple of hours pumping me about every aspect of national security and with primary emphasis on the Navy. Again, a couple of months before he announced his candidacy for the presidency, he asked me to come to lunch in Los Angeles and again spent a couple of hours making sure that he understood all aspects of the current strategic negotiations. I found him, surprisingly enough, I had just in that same week been with then-President Carter and ex-President Ford, I found him better informed to a level of detail on national security issues than the once or sitting president. So he is a man who's done his homework and has convictions in the field of national security.
Mm-hmm. Then I gather you're rather in accord with his priorities with regard to allocating budget to defense?
Yes, although I suffer about the fact that some of our domestic programs have had to be cut, I think that first priority had to be given to salvaging the economy, and that meant reducing some of these rampantly expanding programs. And second priority had to be given to maintaining the minimum level of defense, and that's what he's doing.
The ever-growing deficit, I'm sure, is as much concern to him as it is to you and me and the rest of America. But it seemed to me that was almost inevitable with the directions he was going and dealing with Congress, the majority, which often were so opposed to curtailing some of the domestic programs to make room for what he thought was rearming the country. that this is almost bound to happen. Most of the increasing deficit, I think there might have been a lateral move had he been able to keep all his cuts in place, as severe as they were and as tough as they would have been for maybe a lot of the low-level people in our economic source. Are you agreeing with what I'm saying?
Yeah,
how do we find a way out of this?
Well, I believe, Don, that the deficits are, as the administration has begun to signal, going to be less than the commonly heralded ones. I believe that the deficit this year has a good chance to be under $200 billion, and I believe the deficit next year has a good chance to be in the vicinity of 120, not the 170 to 190 that's been discussed. I believe that if Mr. Reagan is reelected and continues his emphasis on keeping the economy vigorous by holding down the tax rate, that deficits will increasingly reduce, and that if we elect a Democrat, and I say this as a Democrat, of the more liberal persuasion of a Fritz Mondale, then spending, domestic spending will increase greatly, and the deficits will increase.
But I need again to let our listeners know, those that might have just climbed into their pickup and turned on the radio, that they are listening to KCOK, Clarion Kings County's only news talk radio, and that this is County Roundtable. I'm your host, Don Hillman, and my guest this morning is Admiral Elmo R. Zumalt, who was formerly Chief of Naval Operations, and now visiting his home in Tulare and sharing with us some of his concerns as well as some of his boyhood as he grew up in Tulare. Our dialogue now, but kind of led us into the President's domestic policies. You have given a positive reflection of the President's handling of many of our international relations. Do you believe his approach in our domestic policies is appropriate too?
I believe that there had to be a dramatic reduction in the rate of increase in entitlement programs. And I believe that the President was right to try to do it. I regret that he has been less successful than he had hoped to be. I believe that we were clearly en route to killing the goose that lays the golden eggs by so damaging our economy with these raging increases in domestic expenditures that the country would have a dim future. I believe that Mr. Reagan's economic thrust has been a sea change toward a more conservative direction, to the very same extent that Franklin Roosevelt's changes were a sea change in the other direction at a critical time in our history.
Let's reflect back now on Admiral Zumalt, retired. You're a registered Democrat. Is it your plan to stay with the Democratic Party, feeling that perhaps that is where you can be the most effective?
Yes, I would plan to continue to work within the Democratic Party, although I'm not politician enough to feel absolutely constrained to work for or vote for any given Democratic politician.
And you no doubt have been solicited by one or more of the six or seven aspirants that have come forward. Do you look with any interest upon becoming involved that way?
There are three Democratic candidates that, in my judgment, would make creditable presidents. One of them is John Glenn, another one is Fritz Hollings, and a third one is Reuben Askew. The others, I think, would be very harmful to the interests of the United States, as I view those interests.
Both President Reagan, and myself and many others my age would say Elmo Zumalt is of the age that he could well consider a major office again. Do you give any thought to that?
No, my family and I are all very glad that we had the one experience, and we're all very glad that we can now concentrate on telling it like it is instead of telling it like we think the voter wants to hear it.
Yeah, it certainly speaks well for the country, although you had to run in a particular part. No, you ran statewide in Virginia,
right,
didn't you, with
right.
The United States Senate.
Right.
But still, Virginia is a very small part of the country. What has been a real note to me is the fact that you still are demanded in the limelight. You know, if there's some major issue arises, somewhere along the line, somebody brings you forward and all the media pick it up and want the Admiral's viewpoint. That doesn't happen very often to people who have left any branch of the service. Do you What do you attribute this to?
I think it's my bushy eyebrows, Don.
And they are. I got to be sure to tell our listeners that the pictures are true. But they've always been kind of bushy and scraggly. Does he brush them a little bit more than that? You are a good media type person. I felt so strange when I wrote you the letter recently at Lenny's suggestion to tell you the particulars, and I was telling you that you were going to be a microphone and this was the format we were going to follow, and I thought of the hours and hours you had been before TV cameras as well as radio mics. And
well, I told Lenny that you were my student body president and my leader in high school, and I was prepared to put myself under your command again.
I hope that you're finding this conversation this morning more relaxed than a lot of those you have to put in. Well, we got a few more minutes. Let's slip back to the international scene again. And we had a listener that called in this morning, as a matter of fact, and wanted me to ask you if you were in accord with the president's decision not to go to Manila, and if what repercussions this might have, if any, with our relationship with the Philippines.
I do think it was a wise decision. The Philippine situation is a very worrisome one. The president there is in trouble with his populace after many years of being in control in a somewhat dictatorial mode. We need the Philippines badly as an ally and for the bases that are there, particularly now that the Soviet Union has taken over all of the U.S. bases in Vietnam. Yet we risked a president if he had gone there, in my judgment. I think the president did a good job of trying to make it less of a wound by also canceling visits to two other countries on that tour. It was just too much of a risk.
Wouldn't surely President Marcos understand that, too?
Yes, I'm sure he does understand it. But he has a very serious political problem right now, and I think he felt that Mr. Reagan's visit would help him with that problem. And like any politician, he was willing to risk somebody else's life for his cause.
Would the assassination of Aquino get beyond your own scope of observation, or be unfair of me to ask?
No, I'm glad to comment on it, Don, although I suppose I'm any more of an expert than lots of other people. I believe that President Marcos himself was not behind that assassination. It would have been such a stupid thing. Indeed, it has been made to be a very harmful thing for his cause. I believe that it was somebody within his system who sought to use it to harm him and enhance their own power position, rather than the president himself who made that decision.
There's so many strange stories that have come out of that, and it's so hard to piece it together. I guess that, as well as the 007 Korean flight's demise, brings home to us the effects of having countries with controlled press. They just, it's second nature for them to say what is convenient.
That's right.
Rather than what is factual. Right. I think that probably happened maybe with the Aquinos.
I guess what it amounts to is that in countries such as the Soviet Union, the press, the media are told what kind of lies to print, and here in this country we let the media decide for themselves what kind of lies to print.
Oh, well said. Well, it's been an absolute delight to have you with me on County Roundtable. I hope during your stay here we also have a chance to visit even less formally. I'm not trying to say County Roundtable is formal by any means. It's great to have you with us.
Don, it's great to be back with my dear friend.
With that, and an invitation to be with us at our regular County Roundtable tomorrow morning at 9 o'clock, this has been County Roundtable. I'm your host, Don Hillman.